for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture is pleasure and podcast for 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years that games media combined. I want to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation Conversation.
PlayStation Conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We can watch us record this show live. We can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you've watched us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, the comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment and something about 5-star reviews, which I feel that I've missed. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. As well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Look, day late. No one's going to notice or probably really care. But so we change of plans. Last night on the Sunday, we were planning to do the record. However, I had my son, which was a surprise, which was lovely. And my partner, Phoebe, she was a little bit under the weather. She's like, I can't deal with your kid. I'm unwell. And I'm like, fuck, I'm well and I can't deal with my kid some days. Totally cool. No, she was genuinely fucked. She was exhausted. So we had a big honking day on Saturday. My kid thought it was the best because he has just unkept resources of energy. I don't know where he fucking pulls it from. He just energy right out of somewhere. Where Phoebe, being the giant introvert that she is, was like, I'm going to go lie down. I can't do more things. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. So we moved it today, and now we're here, recording Monday night, going live Tuesday. Well, you know, it's all well and good. Max, how are you? Where do you pull your energy from? Is it your butt?
What energy?
Yeah. You can't pull if you don't start with it.
Yeah, what energy, mate?
It's a good call.
My son is currently sick and not napping properly during the day, so I'm missing my day naps. And
oh, no. Are you both cranky now?
I'm a mad cranky boy.
Ooh. We've got the Mullet Show in the chat, who I'm pretty sure I just heard him coughing and spluttering in my courtyard. So is he out? Hopefully they're not outside because it's cold as hell outside. I guess we'll find out. But yeah, that makes sense. Just tired, no energy to
always,
work from.
Always.
It is one of those things where I think people underestimate. Everyone talks about like how tired you get when you have a kid, but no one ever really knows how tired you get until you have a kid, and then you've added a second one because you're mental.
Like someone said to me the other day, they're like, oh, I'm so tired, I only got 7 hours sleep. I'm like, I don't even remember the last time I got 7 hours sleep.
I did Friday night by accident,
because like
normally it's a lot less.
For instance, like today, I finished work at 4:30 this morning, got home at 5, woke up at 9 to look after my child while my wife went to work.
Rad.
And then I got a 30-minute nap, because that's all he napped for today, and I felt worse when I woke up.
That is the danger of the nap. That is absolutely true.
Because he's got a bit of a snuffly nose, so he's not...
But it's one of those things where I think I was talking to my dad the other day, and he goes, oh, I saw this sign on the highway. And I was like, if you get less than 6 hours sleep, you're at risk of crashing. He's like, yeah. Fucked. I've not slept any more than fucking 5 hours in about 20 years. And he's very curious on how he got to my house. But you know, I think I run on like 5, 6 most nights. Probably why I feel like garbage, but... And then you have that longer sleep and it's just worse. It's just so much worse.
Yeah.
But how's your week been otherwise?
It's been pretty chill. Yeah. It's been pretty chill.
Nothing to report?
No, not really. Just, you know, going through the motions.
Yeah.
Work, kids, balance, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the same boat. My week's been pretty chill. Not a whole lot to report. Did wrestles on the weekend. Did some commentary. That was fun. Other things happened, I'm sure, that I don't recall right now. But one thing I do recall, and that's
you experienced the phenomenon of the viral internet.
Oh, not by choice, might I add. All right, so I'm going to put a timestamp on this because this is we're going to talk about this for a while. This is worth noting. So, I saw these little hints of this meme on the socials. I'm like, I don't know what that is, and I'm a little too old and a little too afraid to ask. And then Max starts bombarding my fucking Facebook Messenger with them. And I'm like, I need to source this out. And then I find the original, because they're coming to me. I'm like, I'm not really, what? So then I find the original, and then they all become amazing immediately. So you would have seen this, right? There's this blonde-haired woman, clearly a little shit-faced. She's being interviewed like... Okay, side discussion. How many fucking YouTube channels or TikTok accounts are purely built on harassing women as they leave nightclubs? One, that's really fucked up. And they're asking like really poignant questions like, you know, yeah, I mean... They're not. They're fucking garbage questions. They're always like, you know, why are men why are women horrible? Answer. And this woman's like 7 espresso martinis deep. Like, she's got fucking no idea where she is or why there's a microphone in her face. Oh, it's awesome. So this particular one, this woman is like southern drawl sass, and it's fucking awesome. And there's couple of leading questions, and they're pretty, like, you get the energy of this woman really quick. You're like, yeah, you're fucked up. Let's go. This is going to be fun. And then the final question was, what's the thing that you do in bed that'll make any guy, like, be done? And Max, the answer is...
I can't do it very well.
Come on. You've watched enough memes. Go.
I've watched enough memes. No, because it's going to get clipped. This is one of those things that we don't say on the internet.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway. It is what, do yeah. It. So actually, she's like, oh, what's the exact line?
You got to give it that.
Yeah, you got to give it that and spit on that thing. And the commitment, like her passionate delivery. I was like, she means it. She means to spit on that thing. And then once I saw that clip, and I was like, oh, okay, it's a spitting on dick reference. That's rad. Then I proceed to get all these ones from Max that was like, Reverend Park goes the road warrior. Haktu. The one that before we started recording, Max goes, hey, check this out. And like jams his phone into the microphone. And all I hear is Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, Haktu on that day. That's bad at Arnold Schwarzenegger because I have never in my life ever considered Arnold Schwarzenegger saying Haktu. That was another really good one. Yeah, if you don't Haktu, I'm not talking to you. That was a pretty good one. That's a good play on words. But yeah, why does it tickle you so hard?
I don't know. It's just one of those things of like late night, no sleep, everything's funny.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And like, it's everywhere.
It is everywhere. It's really got the zeitgeist.
Everywhere.
And then you informed me, sadly, that the woman that participated in this meme.
Yeah, apparently she's a preschool teacher that lost her job.
Why? She's fucking chill.
Because of this.
Oh, we as the owners of this kindergarten do not respect the Haktu. You're fired. Oh, she'll get a job. Well, presumably. Would you hire the Haktu lady, given the option?
To do what?
I don't know. I didn't plan this head into this hypothetical. In my hypothetical, you're an employer. You've the Haktu woman who comes in, and you're like, oh my God, you're the Haktu woman. You want a job, but you've gone too deep. Now I don't know what... I haven't thought about what kind of business you would run. Why would you need to hire a small blonde woman that can spit on things?
Yeah, that is true. Nah, who knows? apparently she's suing them for unfair dismissal.
Absolutely! Absolutely unfair dismissal. But wait, is she from the US? Oh, yeah. She's fucked. They don't have workers' rights there at all. It's ruined. Don't worry about it. Let's get a new job.
Just get a new job.
Come on. They don't treat weak fucking workers nicely in the US. What is this? I'm just going to put the note for this. Huck. Okay.
So now that we've been talking about it, I've all of a sudden got 4 targeted ads on my Facebook.
About Haktu? About drinks.
Yeah.
Nice. Shout out to Facebook. It's always watching. All right, next. Let's look. I named the episode this. Let's just get into it. Let's look at the games that we've been playing. You have been playing a game that you have just been utterly boned on. So what is the game that you just grabbed your controller and went, and then just gave it a good beating?
So I've been playing the Elden Ring DLC, Shadows of the Erdtree. So shout out to Bandai Namco Australia for providing me a code for the DLC.
Oh, can you start with that story? Because that's funny.
Okay, so about 2 years ago when the game came out,
Holy shit, it was 2 years ago.
I got the Platinum Trophy, and I'm like, I don't need my disc anymore. I'm going to trade it in. I'm done with this. I've got the plant. I can put it away. And then the DLC is coming out. I'm like, yeah, love that DLC. I'm like, I should start a new character. Oh, I can't. Don't have my disc. I'm like, it'll be okay. The magic will happen. We're pretty
okay.
Lucky.
So this is the thing.
I'm gonna get a code. Chances are that I will get a code for the base game and the DLC.
Okay.
And then my dumbass did, you know.
Before you get there, the fun part about this is Max is forgetting the part that we had already received a base game code when the game came out. So it's not as if, like, there's no reason for them to give us the full fucking base game again because their records would show. And, like, Con's a good dude. He'd be like, oh, they've already got it. I'll just give them the DLC code. Like, what does it fucking matter? If Max is like, ooh, I reckon we'll get the full game. Let's go.
Should be fine. claims the thing as soon as I wake up in the morning, because you sent me the email. I'm like, hey, here's the code.
Oh, yeah, you were awake for like 45 seconds. I was like, bing.
I claimed it. And I'm like, that's weird. Why is the game still locked? So I
was getting a message from you, which is essentially, I think I fucked up.
Yeah, I think I fucked up. So I ended up going out and buying a copy of the game. But my local store only had Shadow of the Erdtree editions.
Hoctur break. it's the movie. Hoctur down. Spit on that thing. It's a sequel.
Ended up buying
Josh Hartnett, not in this movie.
Ended up buying the edition that came with the DLC.
Yeah. Now Max goes like, I've got to go buy the fucking game. I'm like, cool. That makes sense. You want to use some Patreon cash? I think we have some left, even though I used pretty much all of it to do the website stuff. He's like, no, I'll be right. Cool. And then I get a photo from him. I'm like, oh, it's a PS5. Wait, he bought the copy with the DLC? What the fuck are you buying? What are you doing? Like, I spent time articulating this well-written email. Actually, it really wasn't. Being like, hi, Bandai Namco Australia. My co-host, Max, would love this. And then you just go fucking buy it?
Yeah. So, it was either get it with the DLC or not get it at all. So, I'm just like, I'll just buy it with the DLC and then I'll flip the code that came with the game.
I would take it, but no, I didn't get past that fucking first horse, dude.
And there's no point giving it to you to put on the PopC account because it's not going to get used. So.
Hey, anyone want a code?
But it's great. So my character that I'm using is on like a new game plus 6. It's like level 250-odd.
Jesus Christ.
Conveniently located right outside the boss door that I had to beat to get into the DLC. So that was fucking beautiful. I've completely forgotten how to play this game. I've lost all skill at dodging. I now have to use a shield, like a pleb. I'm not happy about. So, luckily, when you enter Shadow of the Erdtree, you go to the Shadowlands, and it has a completely different way to level up. So, essentially, you get Scheduled Tree Fragments, which essentially give you a damage reduction against, like, damage taken, and allows you to deal more damage. So, your stats don't matter too much. As long as you got health, you should be good to go. And then there's another set of fragments, which will increase the usefulness of your summoned allies. Uh-huh. So that's cool. So you beat the two bosses that you need to beat to get into the game. You beat Mog. You talk to the evil hand that's hanging out of the egg. You get transported into the Shadowlands, and then you're just surrounded by fucking grave sites. And then off in the distance, you see this big walking furnace giant motherfucker. And you're like, okay,
I'm going to kill him. Oh, I think I saw a clip of that guy. He just yeeted somebody into his guts.
Yeah, yeah. So I went over to him to say g'day, and he like just fucking stomped me. And I instantly died. Like, everything in this DLC kills me in one hit.
Wow.
It's fucked. And then I got some fragments and got some damage reduction, and now I don't die instantaneously, which is nice.
So the larger consensus across the internet right now, Max, is even those that got good are like, this game's too hard.
Yeah, this has gone from the easiest FromSoft base game to the hardest DLC ever, in my opinion.
Like, how though? Like, what? Like, obviously, it makes sense. Like, you know, obviously, damage, like, a hit gives more damage. But, like, is the timing off? Like, can you not?
So, like, there's, duck? Like, just from the fact that it has a separate leveling system inside, it forces you to kind of start again fresh. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it doesn't matter what your level is. You're going to be doing crap damage until you find these tree fragments to bolster your stats. Oh,
that's kind of cool, I suppose.
So it kind of sets everyone on an even playing field. For whatever reason, all of the bosses that I've fought so far in the DLC area are just insanely faster than any other boss in the game. So the timing for dodging, parrying seems to be a shorter window than it used to be.
Okay, yeah.
Just because everything moves and attacks with so much more aggression, so much more speed. It kind of playing, depending on what build you're playing as, like if you're just a tank and you've got a big shield, you're probably going to do fine.
Yeah.
But if you rely on dex-based weapons or magic or anything like that, you're going to have a rough time purely because everything's so goddamn fast. It's really hard to land hits. It's really hard to judge when attacks are coming in to dodge them. There's a lot more enclosed spaces in this. So you don't have as much room to move, to back up, to give yourself that safety net to shoot or charge up an attack.
What intrigues me about what you've just mentioned is that, like, when it comes to most games, especially games like the Soulsborne games that I played, like, I've only ever built, like, strength-based characters just because everything's going to kick my shit in. I might probably be a character that's got, like, health and armor and stuff. So, like, I never contemplate why someone else would pick any other class. And it sounds like this DLC is like, why'd you pick any other class? Pick the one that gets you less kicked in.
So, like, I'm running around, my main two stats are dexterity and intelligence, so I'm using katanas that have essentially magic scaling.
Uh-huh.
And I could wield a shield, but I don't because I feel stupid using a shield and a samurai sword. So I just don't do it.
Oh, is that so now I'm trying to, like, obviously recall Elden Ring things because I didn't really play it, but I distinctly remember you having a sword that had, like, bleed and a bunch of things and just, like, wrecked things.
Yeah, so all katanas, like the katana family of things, have bleed build up as a passive ability. And bleed still seems to, although it got heavily nerfed in the most recent patch, it still seems to be the way to go for most things. I like using the intelligence-based katanas because they kind of have... They have that bleed for if you want to play as a melee character, but they also have, they tend to have magic ranged attacks. Ooh. So you kind of have a little bit of range as well, but still have that melee build, which is good. That's what I'm using at the moment. Although I just, the last boss that I beat, gave me Kung Fu fists. So I kind of want to be like a Kung Fu man now.
Wouldn't that be, I assume that provides more speed.
He kicked the shit out of me the first time.
But you'd have to get, like, super close to them to, like, get your bussin?
Yeah, but there's a falcon punch that's got a bit of range, and it, like, instantly stuns enemies if you land it. So, it's like...
Mm.
But it's all a bit of fun, because obviously there's a bunch of new weapon types. There's, like, dual reverse swords, there's new spears, I think... there's obviously the martial arts weapons. So there's a bunch of new stuff to try out. So I'm kind of, as I'm finding new gear, I'm picking it up, equipping it for a little bit, seeing what it's like, just to kind of get a feel for it. Because, yeah, like I said, I haven't played this game in like 2 years. I'm very rusty.
Like, 2 years? That's, what did Sammy come out in 2020? And then I forgot, just remembered that it's 2024. So, yes.
So, yeah, it's been a hot minute. So I'm only, I think I've put maybe like 2 or 3 hours in. I'm not too far in. I've beat two bosses so far. I've spent a lot of my time just exploring the map. I haven't really done anything of weight yet. But yeah, again, I'm absolutely loving being back in the Lands Between. And yeah, I'll be playing this for like the next few weeks.
So I guess one of the big things that I've also heard about, aside from the game's too hard, is that apparently Miyazaki had undersold the size of this DLC. And they said, and it's clearly like substantially insane.
They went with, it's the size of Limgrave, which is the opening area of Elden Ring. So when you step out, yeah, it's way bigger than that.
Why do you think they would have undersold it?
They've always undersold like how big or large their games are going to be.
Oh, it's a good trick. If you undersell it, then you drop trail, then they're like, oh, that's not as small as we thought.
I'm more excited for the fact in a recent interview he said he wants to try his hand at a traditional JRPG.
Oh.
I'm like, with your art team making a turn-based JRPG, I'd get behind that.
Yeah.
My apologies,
I didn't have my Ritalin today, this afternoon, evening. So, like, I'm going to be yawning up a storm because my brain is zonked. I'll do my best to not yawn into the mic. I apologize.
It'll be interesting to see what they do from here, because they have said that this is the only DLC for Elden Ring.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they've either already moved on to what's next for them, because I think they have a couple of teams on rotation. So, yeah, we'll seeing what's next for them if they step away from their... Because they do, what is it, Armored Core, and obviously their Souls genre game. So it'll be interesting to see what they do next. Because obviously, Elden Ring Game of the Year winner 2 years ago.
Yeah.
DLC's highest rated DLC ever, beating out...
Yeah, but that's because everyone's a mark, right? Like, it's nothing to do with the quality of the game itself. Everyone just has boners for... You know, it's like, oh, it's a new Mario game. But don't get me wrong. If they're like, hey, it's a new God of War game, you know I'm giving you like a hundo out of that bad boy. Is that a new dirty stash? No, not a dirty stash. I just haven't trimmed my beard correctly.
He drank chocolate milk before recording.
No, it's just, I'm also not using all the lights in the room today because I was like blinding my eyes. I'm just going to use some of the lights. So it is darker in here, and then with the way my face is lit, it makes the beard non-existent, but the mustache huge. I'd be very unlucky in that my mustache is the most prominent part of my facial hair. So it does come through pretty intensely. And then, of course, with my luscious lips, it does draw attention to the mustache, which has nothing to do with Elden Ring, by the way. It's going to blow my nose. Thank you for not making a stupid noise while I blew my nose.
That's all right. You're welcome. But other than that, I dove obviously back into Destiny 2 a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I did record some videos that just absolutely scuffed and cannot be used.
Oh, okay. This is the other best part. So the second time this week, Max messaged me going, I think I fucked it up. So we'll obviously kindly provided a review code for Destiny 2 The Final Shape. Max, big boner for it. Was loved it. He's like, I'm going to record some chat with Noodle that we discussed in previous weeks, the person that has played the game through with them the entire time. Like, awesome. Love it. Then Max messages me yesterday being like, yo, our video calls me like, I think I fucked up. Like, what? Because all the audio is doubled. I'm like, what? So because the idea was they were playing through the first level of the DLC,
yep.
The idea is that Max was, you know, and Nuda were on a Discord call, and they were just recording the desktop audio of the game, sorry, of the computer to get Noodle. But because of the routing, and because OBS is weird sometimes, it was routing both the Elgato capture game audio and the desktop audio, which was also the game for some reason.
Mm.
And just blown out everything. So, mm-hmm. Rad.
What an hour-long video, absolutely wasted. Cannot be saved.
Yeah. And that's what I love about it, is like, it's one of those things where when I first started all this, yeah, that was absolutely happened numerous times. And then I just kind of forgot. So it's actually really quite nice to be like, oh, yeah.
But it's weird because when I did the... the Rise of the Ronin video, it didn't fucking do it. All the settings are the same. The only difference was...
Yeah, you probably had the desktop audio muted, eh?
Probably.
The Royal Rooster, Blair asks, could you save it by trying to separate the stream? No, because as it was recorded with all the feeds coming in at once, so there's no separation. It would be a right prick. Like, you would need some good quality audio engineering skill to correct that nonsense. And it's impossible. But have you completed the final shape now in its fullest?
Oh yeah, I've completed it twice now. Ooh. Like, as of, 2 weeks ago? I think I spoke about the final mission last week, maybe the week before.
Oh, no, because wasn't there something post the final mission? Because the final mission where you sit there and you get to watch and have a moment, but then there was more and you hadn't finished the more part yet, I think.
No. That's the end. Yeah, I think you misremembering. So that mission dropped after the raid was beaten.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you. There's my mix up. The Avengers part. Yeah. Park. Yeah, that's that one. Royal Rooster, shout out to anyone with the sound engineering and wants to help the boys out and wants this gets out in the world. Nah, we've just given up. Let's fuck it. We'll do it again.
I'll just re-record it and do it properly this time. Hopefully.
Like, I've actually been playing some cool games this week though. Which is nice. So there, like, I talked about this a little while ago. I think it went along the lines of Max. I'm playing this game, and I saw it in a YouTube video, and it looked fun, so I bought it, and it's unreasonably fun. And I've been playing this game before work, during the day, end of the day. No, it's not The Elder Scrolls Online, even though that's been an exact same conversation. I'll talk about that a little bit later. It is Drug Dealer Simulator. However, this week, the sequel dropped, and I'm not going to bury the lead. It's as fun as the first one. It's so good. Really, really digging it. So, a couple things. So, if you've played the... look, as the name itself suggests, Drug Dealer Simulator, it's a game where you play as a drug dealer. And you start from, like, at least the original, you start from nothing and you move your way up to someone big. What starts is just being a little mule for one dude. You eventually start growing your own stuff, like if you're using the more plant-based drugs, and then you expand into sort of amphetamines and whatever, and you big, and you create little shanty houses and whatever, and you build cool labs and setups, and you just grow and grow and grow. A great first game. It has that beautiful, like, I'm just going to call it Eurojank because there's no real way to explain it, but I love it for it. It actually makes the game way more fun for that reason. So the sequel, Drug Dealer Simulator 2, shock, takes it a bunch of steps up. So the map itself in the first one, there's, I think, 3 areas, and it's like it's decent, but it's not, like, overly massive. You can remember it pretty quickly. This one, you're on a series of islands. So the original was what felt like it was themed in sort of an Eastern European town, where this feels like it's set in sort of Colombia, you know, those sort of Caribbean energy, which is stacks of fun in and of itself. But that allows for multiple islands so you can kind of move around and build up reputation to distribute in these various islands. So it's a great way to sort of expand on the turf side of the game. One of the other great features of this game is it does have multiplayer. So you can run a cartel That's the whole gimmick, is you run a cartel. You and your thing, it's up to four people in total.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only playing by myself because no one I know cares about this game, and you're all dumb for it. But yeah, so I'm playing by myself. Love it. The idea that we can do it all together makes it even more fun. It's like, all right, I'm going to go run over to this island, presumably. You will go here. Or like, you know, cool. The game itself does set up a little bit differently compared to the first. As I said, the first one, you start as a mule, and then you build up to where you can grow and then distribute. Where here, the game kind of gives you the growth initially. There is no one to buy off of. It is all up to you. And that's kind of cool. So one of the fun parts of the game is when you get to that point where you can start growing, you know, you still got to buy, but then you've got to, like, it's a whole thing. It's tons of fun. By kicking it off this way, it gives you what I feel like a bit more control over the larger experience, as you're like, all right, well, I'm going to use this and da-da-da. And the bunker that you have access to initially. Now, granted, I'm saying this because I'm only like so many hours in, right? I haven't got, like, there are the ability to get other, like, locations, and you can presumably make other grow houses. But, not presumably, you totally can, because I've been to the merchant where he says all the stuff. I'm still working out of the bunker at the moment, because I'm not quite confident in my ability to step outside just yet. It's in the bunker. It's got a little pre-made space where you don't have to do anything. You just plunk it in. Boom, boom, boom. Out comes weed. It's great. Yeah. It's cool. I watched like the interest like fade from your face, but there's a couple things in this game that really sort of stand out to me.
Is it like, so, because every time you've spoken about it, and yeah. I don't know if I've got just like the wrong mental image, I've got it as kind of like a point and click game.
No, it's straight up first person.
Okay.
Yeah, first person, you run around, you walk up to the person, you give them the weed, you click drag and drop into the envoy, and you go, thank you very much.
Yeah, so I had like, you know, like, what was it, like fucking Mafia Wars.
Oh, in that case, what you're thinking of is a game called Weedcraft Inc., which I have also played and reviewed on this show.
probably why I've gotten confused.
Yeah.
I can see the appeal in that for a short period of time, and I'm like, I would kind of get over it if I'm just clicking a button and be like,
no,
do this.
Yeah, so you have to physically run around and yeah, go find the people and give them stuff. And
that's all right then.
Yeah, it's real cool. Speaking of the running around though, so I did play the game in its like demo form, and because it was the demo, it was a little bit if and off. There wasn't not some things were a bit sketch, and one of those things was the movement, right? Like the head bob specifically, and the whenever you tried to jump something like a fence or a ledge, the camera followed the head movement as if you were to jump this fence, and it made me want to vomit almost immediately. First thing I did when I was playing this one, I'm like, I'm gonna jump this fence, and if I vomit, I'm gonna give this is not gonna go well. Nah, they totally fixed it. One of the first things they fit, like, beautiful. All right, game's already better. And then I played it, and it just got better because I was playing it. It was tons of fun. But yeah, like, it's really cool. And there are some things that have since been corrected in patches as well. When you boot up the game and you play it for the first time, the opening cinematic is you on a speedboat driving into the island, which is called Isla Sombra. But the mix was a bit jacked up, and like the speedboat was just like cranked 95%. And there's this voiceover that you would have no idea was voiceover until because there's subtitles. If there was no subtitles, it would have been incoherent. But yeah, pretty cool. Yes, still early days comparatively. I love it, but I knew I was going to love it. So it was super easy for me. So big thank you to the team for providing a review code through the terminals. So it's called IP Torrents, but we didn't talk about IP Torrents, no. No, through terminals. Yeah, stoked. Super keen. Loving it. Enjoying it. Of course, the other thing that I've been playing with, and I talked about this a little bit last week, was Go-Go Town. So Go-Go Town, so I'll touch upon it briefly because we did talk about it last week. It is a game from the team over at Prideful Sloth, which is an Australian studio, who you probably best know for Yonder, the Cloudcatcher Chronicles, and the other one that came out after that. I was going to say Erdtree, but it's not, because that's Elden Ring. It's got something to do with the tree in the name. This is very reminiscent of like an Animal Crossing. It's probably the best example, where you get given this little town, you become mayor, and you just got to like do a series of tasks to build up your town. Now,
it was Grow Son of the Evertree.
Grow Son of the Evertree. I knew there was an E tree in there somewhere. So I've been playing it for a while, because the beauty of this game is it's really easy to pick up and just jam. And because there's no combat, and I mentioned last week that you can pretty much play the game entirely without a mouse, and I still stand by that. It's absolutely true. There are some things you can't do without the mouse, but like I'm talking 95% of the game can play with one hand. So you can almost get your lean back on, and you're just like, and you're just going around this town, like collecting resources, you know, trying to get people to move into your town, building new stuff, terraforming, building roads. The part of my brain that utterly adores farming sims, or any sims in general, because I do have a boner for sims, is the simplicity of this. Like, it takes me back to one of my favorite games of all time, which is Harvest Moon: Back to Nature, which is a farming lifestyle game. However, comparative to, say, Farming Simulator or even Stardew Valley, the game is quite simple. It's visually simple. It plays simple. But it's deep if you want it to be. And I am finding this game to be exactly that. So as I've got all these little areas, you know, there's a forestry area, a mining area, a farming and a fishing, and then you kind of your key four and all the supplies that you need to support your shops, your houses, your maintenance, whatever, can all be done through these locations, which is cool. But that's only just part. Like, that's just almost the center point of your map. So I got bored the other day, and I built a little bridge over some water. I was like, oh, let's go check out what's over here. Go in, find this insane base, like, sewer world with giant-ass slimes in it. And I'm like, I have no idea what to do with these slimes right now. I guess I'll come back later. And then I ended up, I take a Mario green pipe, end up in some desert, find a giant robot, and I'm like, where is all of this? And mind you, this entire time I'm riding a tricycle in the shape of a unicorn that essentially farts cloud and rainbows out of its butt as I'm driving around. And then if I slam the brake on and do a skid, there's like nice little rainbow skid marks on the ground. I do like that. I exclusively ride that one the most. It was the skateboard first, and then I found the unitricycle, and I was like, well, I'm just gonna ride the unitricycle, aren't I? And I am. So at the, I believe there's like 10 levels at which you can bring your city to. I'm currently sitting at level 6, and I'm unlocking things as I go. Because it's all the system of the currency within the game is both physical currency in terms of the money that you get from people coming from tourism, but also there's like a goodwill. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's kind of like a currency that's like, by people coming in and looking at the space and liking it, it's like a happiness. And you can use that happiness as research points, which allows you to expand your mining or, you know, expand your tourism or whatever it is. And then that's how you build your tiers up and get to the thing. And then eventually you'll get a call in the in-game mobile that's like, yo, you're ready to rank up. Let's go. You have a day challenge, which is like collect X amount of points or coins, I should say. Build this, build that, do this. And I go, boom, next level. Because I'm playing quite organically. I'm just, you know, as I'm unlocking more things, I'm like, oh yeah, let's expand this. Oh yeah, cool. So by the time the challenge day comes, I'm like 3 out of 4. And it's just, hey, you need to collect, you know, X amount of coins during this 24-hour game window. I was like, oh, well, that's easy. All right. So I just start shoveling all, you know, supplies into my shops, which I don't even have to do anymore, by the way. One of the things that, like, about the collectible of these games is, oh, you have to go pick up the trees and bring it back to the shop. Nah, there was a building that's like, you want a dude that does all that for you? I'm like, absolutely. I have two dudes now that do that for me. It rules. Everyone is constantly supplied with bullshit, and I just get to go fucking running around on my unitricycle having the best time.
So does it play out like Stardew? Is it like top-down isometric view? Or?
No, it's like 2.5D, so it is kind of like, you know, bleh. And it's like down. Mm-hmm. It is very Animal Crossing in that, like, it is sort of these 3D chibi sprites, and the game design is very, very adorable. I really quite love it, because it's chibi, but it's not. entirely, like, it's probably the easiest way to explain it, but yeah, it's all like bright, colorful, big heads and big smiles and interesting character designs. Like, my favorite one is there's a dude that rocked up in my town and he's dressed up like the guy that robs Bruce Willis in The Fifth Element. You know, when he looks through the peephole and there's the hat, you open the door and the guy just comes off the train and I'm like, can he be in my town? And the little ding thing above his head. And he's like, hey, if you do this task, I'll live in your town. I'm like, whatever the task is that you want, you get it because I need you in my town. He runs my fish and chip shop.
Multiplayer?
No, single player, I believe, at the moment, at least. Once again, mostly because I assume no one else would want to play it. I'm like, yeah, it's a single player. So playing it on PC, it is only currently available on PC as far as I'm aware. No PlayStation or Xbox as of yet, but when it does come, I'm probably going to get it there too, because like the game is fun, and it'd be a perfect Portal game, or even a perfect Switch game, really. But yeah, and as of yet, there's still no combat, which I love. Very similar to Yonder, where you can play the entire game without like hurting anything, because it's built to not do that. That is continued here. And can I just mention, I should have mentioned this for Drug Dealer Simulator 2. Is my screen doing weirdness again?
No.
Oh, okay, cool. You're doing the weird eyes of like you're having a trip.
It's just my brain's doing weird things.
Yeah, that's not good. you good?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Just having a stroke. It's cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm not. My hands are above the table.
Yeah, if we hear a hawk tour, then we know we're in trouble. The music of Drug Dealer Simulator is unreasonably good. And same goes for Go-Go Town. It is unreasonably good. There is one tune that just, like, popped me really hard, and I did kind of play it on loop a couple times, which is no surprise, because I love a good song on loop. Today, as an example, I think I listened to Budapest by George Ezra no less than 20 times. There was a time where I just literally played the song on repeat for about 20 minutes. I don't know what it is. It's something I'm really happy. And in the same goes for the songs in Go-Go Town. There's one particular song that just made me happy, and I really got a kick out of it. And I found myself kind of like jamming to it as I'm like, you know, fucking cutting down trees and shit. I'm like, game's great. I love it. I was like, when I played it at PAX, very happy, really, really enjoyed it. And to make it even better now, it's like, it's still fantastic. Excuse me. It's adorable. I love it. Big time. I did get a code for another game today, and I have claimed it, but I haven't played it yet. It's called Blockbuster Inc. What caught my attention, and I even said it in my review request, was it just said, Movie Studio Simulator. And I was like, I can make movies? Let's go. So I did. And I haven't played it yet, but I installed it this morning. And like the main, I'm not going to lie, part of what caught my attention is like the image of the game is like three figures, and like they're kind of like they're okayly designed. But the guy in the middle is doing the big arm reach Superman Jesus, but they kind of made him just look like Homelander. I was like, oh shit, I could do something dumb with Homelander. Let's go. And that was honestly a big part of the reason why I said, yeah, I'll grab a review code. That sounds fun as hell. Sorry, I haven't played that yet, but I will be certainly checking that out shortly. Outside of that, have been jamming with Elder Scrolls Online still, to the surprise of no one. But one thing we did do this week, Max, is we took full advantage of a full party system. And we spent some time playing. It was myself, my partner Phoebe, my mate Craig, my housemate Ange, and our good friend Blair. It was all five of us just fucking around. Now, the main idea was Phoebe's only played the once. We've all played a couple of times. So our characters were a little bit higher level. And to ensure that we could all have a shared experience, here we are hanging about in Kenrith Roost, whatever the fucking opening island is, right? And we're like, oh, Phoebe, we'll help you. We'll work. We'll walk alongside you. You do your missions. And if anything needs bussing, we'll buss you. We'll get you covered, right? That was the plan until we all demonstrated our absolute fucking ADHD-ness. And we sort of just wandered off. And Phoebe was left having to do mostly herself because we got distracted. Because I didn't have any missions to work on, I ended up just climbing things and seeing like how much I could balance on this thing with my giant cat mount. I was like, this looks like I could put a kitty mount on here. And next thing you know, I'm on top of this fucking pole. I'm like, awesome. And then Phoebe's like, I've done three missions. I'm like, oh, I've not left this pole. I'm so sorry. but she seems to be enjoying it, which is great, is a good sign for, you know, a newcomer into not just an RPG, but an MMORPG. She seems to be having fun. But in terms of the DLC, which we were provided a review code from the team over at Power Up PR and Bethesda Australia, for the Gold Road, I have been playing that one probably the most. With good with my Nord, fucking whatever class I picked. Magnus Waffle Stomper. Which is still a great name. I did have to explain to Craig what the Urban Dictionary meaning of waffle stomping is, and that was a moment because he was really excited. Like, yeah, it was because I may have referenced Magnus Waffle Stomper in a comms we did the other day for a wrestling show because one of the wrestlers' name is Magnus Thunderheart, and I was like, well, I gained inspiration from Magnus. I named my Elder Scrolls Online character, Magnus Waffle Stomper. And Craig's like, oh, Thunderheart does look like he stomped some waffles at his time. I'm like, don't. But you've already said it. It's now on the book. It's now on the record. So can't come back from that. Can't come back from that. But no joke, I am still utterly adoring the Elder Scrolls Online. I don't know what it is. It's just, I've never really given a shit about an MMO outside of DCU Online, like DC Universe Online, but this is just, I'm loving it, living it. I want to play it all the time. If I wasn't talking to you right now, you know what I'd be doing? Probably playing Elder Scrolls Online. I don't give you time to answer, Max, because the answer's easy. Actually, no, the answer is I'd probably be sleeping. But dreaming about the Elder Scrolls Online.
Dreaming about your Khajiit.
Dreaming about no, but dreaming about my Nord. And then,
oh, that's right. You're not a
no. Mullet, the Mullet Show. Craig is a Khajiit because he's Charlie the Chonk.
Mm.
He's my partner's cat in a game, and it's not weird. It's funny, also weird, but still very funny. Any other games you've been playing this week, Max?
No, not really. It's been a quiet week for me. Just between the Destiny grind and the Elden Ring grind. All I've really been doing.
Look, because you said, this is one of those things, we talked about this last week, like, there's no real, like, big honking games. It's kind of grabbing, I guess Elden Ring Fuse probably the big one, because you're kind of killing time until Elden Ring.
Yeah, I've been killing time to Elden Ring. I think the next big one on my list will be Black Myth Wukong in August.
Okay, question in the chat. Woody NJ asks, how is the lag/latency on the North American server? Wish they had OCE servers. So I play on the EU server. I don't know whether that's better or worse. I just assume for most, obviously,
it's about 110 ping to EU, and it's about 160 to 180 to NA.
Okay. Well, cool. Yeah, so I pick EU mostly because we get lumped in, like Australia gets lumped in with the EU for goddamn everything. So I went, nah, tick. And I'm not, I've not really had any major connection issues. But like, yeah, I said, normally because I'm playing solo, I just kind of run around and do what I want, you know, whatever.
If you're not raiding or doing dungeons or anything, you're probably not going to notice it that
no,
much.
Like I did some dungeons today, but I ran them solo. And like, apart from a couple of random dudes that just kicked my shit in, but I don't think that was a latency issue. That was just me being garbage. it was clearly something that would have benefited from having more than one person. I didn't do that well at it, but yeah, no, I said, utterly adoring it. I'm only playing in the Golden Road, the Gold Road area at the moment, particularly with this character. you know. Oh, and the Malacho ads, the community seems okay there at low levels. Absolutely. So some of the things I'm really enjoying is that if I'm running through an encounter or even the dungeon that I was in, I just happen to be in there with some people that are like level 600, 900. I ran into some guy that was level like 2200 the other day. And weirdly, they don't like fuck with, they don't like fuck with you or like disregard you if you're, because I'm like level what? 15, 13, somewhere around there. And they, it's not as if they're like, they don't like go, you know, hock to it and run past you. Like it's, like if you're in a fight, they'll come through and go, pew, and like, you know, just deliver them a bit of hand of God and then fuck off.
Yeah.
But like, I was in this one little area. I wasn't having a hard time. I wasn't having an easy time either. And this guy just came up and went, hey, cool. But then there was also, I ran into some other guy who was probably like level 30. And he was having a bit of a rough time. So just having me come in and go, pew, 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 and like stab him, shank and stuff with my sword, just kind of helped him that little bit. And it was like, oh, cool. And then in the same way that Helldivers delivers the same thing, we had that non-verbal sort of co-op experience as we finished, like we kind of just went through the rest of the encounter together, and then it's like no chat, no nothing, and just like, yep, cool. And then when we all wrapped up the mission, we just kind of went off in different directions, and it was awesome. I couldn't tell what the guy was, but we were friends for a moment. It was very Journey-esque, actually. Also, yeah, Elder Scrolls Online, still a ton of fun. I want to play it now, but we're not, we're recording this show instead. When we're not, probably going to replay it. All right, Max, let's get to the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Quiet week.
Yeah,
no, quiet week. No biggies?
No, but PlayStation are pulling the plug.
Oh.
Yeah, so a report claims that Sony has significantly cut funding for the PlayStation VR 2 headset.
Oh, yeah.
As part of a largely opinion-led piece, Android Central cites, quote, anonymous sources that say PlayStation is paring back production for its pricey peripheral, with only two first-party titles in development.
Oh.
There are still a number of great games coming to PSVR 2 in the future, like Skydance's Behemoth, and of course, Sony's releasing an adapter which will make the headset compatible with PC. But with first-party support almost non-existent and hardware manufacturing portably paused, the future isn't exactly looking great for the otherwise technologically impressive unit. Yeah, I think what was it? They released two bangers in what was it? Call of the Mountain or Call of the Wild, the Horizon one, and obviously the GT7 VR port was great. And then they just did nothing.
Well, look.
And then they closed London Studio.
Yeah, the one studio that kind of did the most VR stuff. For me, the clear visual indicator was the PC plug. Yeah, absolutely. They're like, look, we, and then by them essentially showcasing Half-Life Alyx on the image, I'm like, all right, we're done. PSVR2 is done. This is it. Like, there's gonna be little to nothing coming, and they're now gonna rely solely on PC support to make this workable. Like, we know that they halted production semi recently because they're just like, we're not selling as many. It does frustrate me in that, you know, they put the effort in, but they didn't. Like, it feels like the Vita again, feels like the PSVR1 again. Saying that, though, I'm also to blame because I can't tell you the last time I turned it on. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, am I to blame? Well, no, because I don't. We're very lucky. We get review codes. I don't buy games. What an entitled thing to say, you asshole. Yeah, and like it does bum me out in that sense. But, you know, the only way this system would work is if they committed to it. And I think it's what we're seeing now in the extension of the live service circumstance with Sony and PlayStation. It's like, well, no one is willing to commit to a live service like that. So what? And that's a game that's guaranteed money, quote unquote, right? A live service. So why would they then invest that level of time, effort, and money into VR where they know the return is much less? I'm not sure what the attach rate of the PSVR 2 is compared to 1. 1 was pretty good, but with 2...
That whole thing that we spoke about before of like, The cost of the unit's high so that they can support funding to make the games for it, but there's no games for it, therefore the thing is
Too expensive for what it's worth.
People have to buy the unit to make it worthwhile making games, but they have to make games to make it worthwhile people buying it, but people and then it just circles until
until they stop doing one or the other.
It's a real shame, especially at the price point they release it at, that they've given up on it within just over a year. February of last year, I think.
Oh, no. Well, a bit longer than that, I'm sure. Do your Google. But, for that reason alone, it is quite a bummer, right?
February 22nd of last year.
Wow, that's not
just
good.
Just over a year. You're in a quarter.
See, that's the other challenge, right? I'd love to plug it into my PC. But, like, this room's full of shit. Look at all this stuff behind me. All the lights are over there. This desk's right in the middle of the room like a dickhead. You have a decent setup. You have a whole bunch of space behind you. I got fucking shit everywhere.
I mean, depending on what the price tag for the adapter is in Australia, I'd definitely be willing to check it out, because obviously there are PC VR titles that I would love to play that I've just haven't been able to.
Yeah.
It's a small compensation to get an adapter like this.
Yeah, but it comes at such a cost, though. The amount of things you have to be willing to not have access to is frustrating, right? In that it's like, oh, it doesn't have HDR. It doesn't have the Eyeman doohickey.
The foveated view.
Yeah, foveated rendering. Doesn't have
eye tracking. Doesn't have the adaptive triggers. It doesn't support anything that it actually supports.
Yeah, all the things that make the headset unique, comparative to, say, your MetaQuest or whatever... it's a whole big old bummer. But speaking of big old bummers, I have personally liked this service, but it's been really annoying because I can't do shit with it right now.
So yeah, I wanted to redeem my points so I could purchase the D&D swag in Destiny.
No chance. So we noticed this about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. The PlayStation Stars just fucking stopped working on the phone app. Even the button that you would click went away. Since come back,
it was right around the time that the Days of Play sale kicked off.
Yeah. So engineers at Sony are now actively working, only now though apparently, actively working on the problems affecting the company's PlayStation Stars reward program, with the service now having been offline for around 2 weeks. Reports of user issues began appearing from the 5th of June, and the PS Stars, as I mentioned a moment ago, the PS Stars icon was removed from the PlayStation mobile app shortly afterwards. The button has since now returned, but pressing it returns a simple maintenance page reading, quote, PlayStation Stars is currently experiencing issues. Our engineers are aware of the issue and are working on a solution. With the service offline, it means users can't acquire any new PS Star collectibles or earn redemption points off of their PS Store purchases, including the current sale. These points can be traded in for monetary vouchers or even full games. Some users speculated the downtime could be related to the upcoming service upgrade, since PS Stars still has no presence whatsoever on the consoles themselves. However, the maintenance message from Sony very much confirms something has gone wrong on the back end. So one of the other things that we have speculated, and we're not the only ones to speculate, is with the introduction of the State of Play deal, and seeing as you get... bonus points for purchases, that possibly this is a them to obscure people getting a bunch of unreasonable points. Now, I do have some contention with that, in that there has been numerous sales since Stars has been brought on, and none of that has become an issue. And the sales that are currently with the State of Play, Days of Play, I should say, are not so staggeringly that I don't think they'd move that drastic level of numbers. But knowing the PlayStation's back end is built on fucking paperclips and string, as we've learned from 2010, What do you think's going on, Max? What's happened?
Yeah, something's just gone wrong at the back end. It's completely the house of cards is falling over.
Yeah. It's like clearly PlayStation Network was built so shitty back in the day that like it's stack on stack on stack on stack, and if one of the stacks gets slightly shifted or a bit of code comes in and goes oi,
it's all spaghetti code.
The whole time I was trying to think, what's it fucking called? Spaghetti code. That is exactly the phrase I was looking for, which is annoying because like granted I'm not playing thousands of games right now, but I did love the gimmick of getting cool little collectibles.
Well, the thing is, they're releasing collectibles on a weekly basis that we just can't get.
Yeah.
Because
I'm sure there's some Elden Ring one right now that you would love to get.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't look.
Well, yeah, I normally message you going, hey, the Buster Sword's available. You're like, oh, tick.
The only ones that I jump on for are like the monthly play of like download and play one of the monthly games, get 100 coins. Because the coins have monetary value.
Yeah, because I haven't spent any of my coins. When this comes back, I better have my goddamn coins. Actually, I don't care.
I think I spent like 6,500 to get Bellatro.
Yeah. I was really mad because I just bought the Delicious Last Course DLC for Cuphead because my son wanted it. I was like, oh, okay. And then I opened up Stars and was like, you want it for substantially less points than what you have? I'm like, oh, Bill Earns. Oh, well. My bad. Fucked up there. What's next?
I've called this one Get to the Blue Point. So back in 2021, it was revealed that Blue Point Games was working on something completely original. The Austin-based developer is best known for its stellar remakes in Shadow of the Colossus for PS4 and Demon's Souls on PlayStation 5, the launch title. And so word of this new project had people curious as to what the team could possibly be cooking. Now, 3 years later, we still have no idea what the fuck they're doing. The whole thing's shrouded in mystery. The project is still happening. The head of technology, Peter Dalton, has provided the smallest of updates on Twitter, where he writes, quote, "Nothing has changed since our last statement. We are working on an original title. Everything takes time. We are committed to sharpening our skills," end quote. And this seems to be the case for every first-party studio in PlayStation. They're doing something. No one knows what it is.
Yeah.
And it's taken forever to get...
And you know that part where you have questions? Stop it. Don't ask fucking questions. You don't get questions. We'll tell you. Like, don't... Yeah, shut your fucking face. Like, that's essentially PlayStation. Shut your fucking face. Like in a nice cursive. Because, like, they're not going to tell you. And, like, are you going to Gamescom this year? No, fuck you. You know?
I mean, that's also not surprising because I haven't been for the last, five years?
No, but that's the best part. Is, like, it's an extension of, like, oh, we said fuck you 5 years ago, isn't it? Like, go. Like, it's just... Because, like, in that last 5 years, they have gone the moniker of being super quiet. And this is interesting. With Blue Point specifically, because they have been, excuse me, at the back end of multiple various rumors. One of them being a Metal Gear Solid remake, the other being the Bloodborne remake. And there was a presentation, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I think it was out of CES or the financial, whatever, where the team had, like, they've separated all the first party studios into three pillars, and essentially single player action adventure, live services, and partner studios. And the partner studios, there was Valkyrie, a known support studio, Nixus, which is built entirely to help PC ports, and Bluepoint. So the original presumption, and we had the same presumption, is that when they announced that Bluepoint was being acquired as a part of PlayStation Studios, that we would begin to, like, their entire job would be, we're going to remake all the games, like a dedicated remake studio. But like that presentation would indicate that that's how they're being seen, but then apparently they're working on an original title. Like, are we... One of the things that I think the wording is very interesting, they don't say original IP, original title. Pardon me. So an original title would...
Yeah, Bloodborne 2. We're getting it.
Yeah, it's Bloodborne 2. Yeah, it's a sequel. Like, or it's Demon's Souls 2. Demon's Soulsier. I don't know. Souls Harder. Demon's Souls Death Boogaloo. Everyone is speculating Bloodborne 2 because the tweet that old mate, what'd you call him?
Dalton.
Right, what'd you call him? His fucking name. That's what I. That's what you called him.
Peter Dalton.
Pete Dalton. He sounds like an Australian politician. Peter Dutton. Yeah. not Peter Dutton. Essentially, retweeted a tweet from Studio that was like, under no circumstances will we ever like let someone go. We don't do redundancies. And then someone politely asked them. So I understand developers tweet a bunch of studios all the time, but especially with their history and connection with FromSoft, like is this the indicator? Mm. Max, okay. Do you want a Bloodborne 2? Oh, that was easy.
Yeah.
Or would you rather a remaster? Because like I don't think Bloodborne requires a remake. It was one generation ago. Just remaster that shit. Anyone can do that shit.
Mm.
Remaster it and then go, hey, get all boned up. It's coming to PC. It's coming to PS5. Bloodborne 2 is coming next year. That's what needs to happen. And also you get 60 frames out of it rather than the whole 30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would that conversation get you all like moist?
That's the dream, but I've been burnt too many times.
Yeah, everyone gets all excited at every conference. Excuse me. At every showcase, at every state of play, everyone's like, "Oh yeah, Bloodborne 2." And they know people want it too, which makes it the worst. And it's not all bad, though. Sometimes Sony does listen to you. Well, not you specifically.
Specifically you in this
Specifically
case.
Me, actually. So this week, Sony has announced that its handheld streaming device, the PlayStation Portal, which is not in this room, I was going to be like, but it's in a different room, will be receiving a new firmware update, which is already out, that brings with it a couple of new features. And most importantly, the one that gets me excited, is Wi-Fi capabilities are being expanded to support, quote, select public Wi-Fi networks. So Sony still recommends you use your home internet setup, of course, but the patch will allow you to log into Wi-Fi access points where additional steps like logging in are required. So for myself, like when I do have travel for work, I try to take the portal with me, not considering that it doesn't have the step that you need, you know, a no browser, therefore you can't log into a hotel Wi-Fi. That's fixed. Big fucking win. Because for me, that was one of my key use cases, was taking it to hotels. Providing examples such as hotel, airports, and cafes, the PS Portal will display a QR code on the screen to complete the verification steps by scanning it using your phone. Secondly, the firmware update will add visual feedback to the device's touchscreen when you click on the screen. A small box will appear and will replicate the inputs you register to show what it's accepting. So that way you can do like directional shit rather than just tapping it. And then you can also display a battery meter in the top right corner of the screen. So no longer just guessing what the bar is. You can then also give it a percentage. And Max, you are dozing off right in front of me.
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh, that's been more than fine. I'm like, if we can rip through this last part if you want to just go
to
town.
No, I'm good. I'm still here.
So,
because obviously it's one of those half step fixes again. Like,
yeah.
You have to have a phone on you to scan the QR code.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you still can't access the networks, which is dumb.
Yeah, and I get that.
But it's better than nothing.
Yeah. What it demonstrates is that clearly in the OS of the portal, it like literally does not support a browser. Like, it just doesn't. Because if it did, then the idea, it would just pop a browser and you could go... But like, it is literally fundamentally not having things that it should. Now, I understand
Does it support, because I haven't used a portal. If you were to get a message, like a PlayStation message with a link in it, because that's how you open the browser on a PS5, because the PS5 doesn't have a browser. But if you put in a web address into a PlayStation message, you can click on it and load that page, which is how I almost got Games Pass working on... and the xCloud working on my PlayStation.
Nice.
does it what does it do? Does it pop something there, or does it just like no?
I haven't tried it yet because people don't message me links that I click on because no one talks to me on PlayStation messages. Because if if someone randomly sent me a link, I'd be like, I ain't clicking that. I bet you it's unsolicited haktur. You know what I mean? It's like it's not good.
Is there any other form of haktur?
Well, you know, like you've been on Twitter lately. Like whether you want to or not, you're going to see someone's front area. Like it just happens. Essentially, what I love about this is that, like in any sort of adoptive technology, they've gone, all right, let's throw it out there. Oh, people are using it. Fantastic! Like unprecedented expectation and love for the portal. What's one thing they're asking for? This? All right, this is what we can do. And they did make something in the middle, and that's cool. It's better than not doing anything at all. Like, they simply could have just gone, well, that's not what we made it for. Fuck you. Because they could.
It's exactly what they fucking made it for.
Made
it to be a portable device.
Yeah, but at home, though. Like, don't you fucking think about going outside with it. You don't go nowhere with it. So look, in that sense, I am happy with this. In the middle setup. All right, because just to make sure you don't fucking fall asleep, let's keep going. Quick bits.
Quick bits. Microsoft is pleased with PlayStation 5 sales of Sea of Thieves. More games may be on the horizon.
Spoilers. Of course they fucking are. There are so many more games coming.
Native PS5 version for Minecraft finally coming. Can be tested right now as a preview inside Minecraft's PS4 version. You go to the options or you can use the test build for PS5.
Oh, see, this is cool. This is taking way too long, but about effing time.
As I alluded to before, Shadow of the Erdtree Tree overtakes Witcher 3's Blood and Wine as the highest rated DLC of all time on Metacritic.
Don't believe you. Valhalla was pretty sweet, so shut up.
Beyond Good and Evil 20th Anniversary Edition is coming to PlayStation 4 and 5 next week. Still no news on Beyond Good and Evil 2, which was announced like 30 years ago.
Have you ever played...
No.
I don't know anyone that's played it. No one. You hear the rumblings of it being a good game. I'm like, oh, sure, whatever. But I don't personally know anyone that's played it. I've never played it. Was it on PS2?
Yeah. And lastly, Bandai Namco has confirmed their summer showcase will be filled with announcements and reveals coming on the 5th of July.
Well, seeing as you're a big Bamco lover, what do you expect?
They have teased that it's going to be a lot of anime stuff. So,
what a twist.
I'm picturing like Sword Art Online, probably some more Dragon Ball Z stuff, maybe some My Hero Academia stuff, maybe some more characters for the Jujutsu Kaisen game that they released a couple of months back.
Any farming games?
No.
Don't care. You could have got me there, Max. You could have got me. Like, it does feel like every time I email Bandai, going, hey, Max is really excited for this game. Like, it's no longer... It's very rarely do I get to say, I'd like to play that game. I'd like to review that game. It's Max.
You've just got to change your definition of farming to...
to grinding, exactly. But then it's not the grinding that I want, you know? Rough time, but look, you know, as I'm sitting like, oh, what games are coming that might be fun? That might be farming games. Don't fucking matter because a bunch of other games are coming out this week. On the 25th of June, you get Beyond Good and Evil coming to PS5 and PS4. Sort of probably not gonna play it. Frogun Encore PS5, PS4. Graven PS5, PS4. Until then, the unofficial but also not even remotely close sequel Until Dawn coming to PS5. 26th of June, not connected to Go-Go Town, Go-Go Jump, PS5, PS4, on 26th of June. 27th of June gets XO1, PS5, PS4. Gigantosaurus, my nickname in high school. Dino Sports, PS5, PS4. Neo Sprint, PS5, PS4. Planetarian, The Reverie of a Little Planet and Snow Globe, PS5. Pocket Bravery, PS5, PS4. Stray Gods, the role-playing musical Orpheus, PS5, PS4. Wanderer, The Fragments of Fate, PSVR2. 28th of June, you get 34 Sports Games World Edition. A lot of thought went into that name, PS5, PS4. What I wish it was right now, because I'm sick of being fucked.
Bizarrely doesn't even contain 34 sports.
No, it's like six. what I wish was true, The Last Night of Winter, coming to PS5, because I am so fucking sick of being cold. Spy versus Anya, Operation Memories, PS5, PS4. And finally, on the 30th of June, VR, PSVR 2. So anyone that was like, oh, there's no PSVR 2 games, fucking liar, because there's that one. Why aren't you playing that one? Because it sounds like ass. Bloomtown, A Different Story, PS5, and Spicer Adventure, PS5. Nothing of interest there at all. What about you, Max?
I'm looking up Akka. I swear I've looked at this before.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it looks like I would throw up playing this game.
Oh, what is it?
It's like an old arcade 16-bit light show bullshit.
Light show? Just strap a screen to your face and give yourself epilepsy with because that's the sound your brain will make when it's overloaded with stimulus and you have a seizure.
It's like voxel explosions when you blow shit up in like Space Invaders.
Oh, that sounds cool. Yeah. What a twist. Oh, I'd get turned around real quick on that one.
I guess the big one is Stray Gods is apparently pretty big.
And it's a musical.
There's a cult following behind that.
And Orpheus almost sounds like Orifus. Much more exciting. this is the Hoctur edition of For the Players.
Yeah.
All right, Max, get out of here.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning, except today.
All the other times that it happens, which is way more frequently than it should.
Yeah. Anyway, this PlayStation conversation happens once a week on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
I was trying to drink, you fuck. It happens at some point of a week.
And it will happen the day later on YouTube. Generally at 9 a.m.
Oh no, the timing's always correct.
Oh well, except
well,
when our
except for, except when the back end shits itself and it's like, I don't know, fuck you, and then I have to go into
yes, but if you need updates, sometimes we'll post them. I don't think we did last.
Nah,
night.
Just go on Twitter. I only ever do it on Twitter. Like we use all these other platforms that I should post shit on. I don't. Just Twitter.
Check out Twitter.
I used to be all really good links. At posting all the socials.
Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, because yeah, that, you get notifications over here, which is pretty cool. Head over to twitch.tv/popculture so we can watch us record the show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, because by God, do we need it, you can check us out at patreon.com/popculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other sort of shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Hachtur! It sounds like quite aggressively German.
Yeah, well, if you have a look at the picture that I just sent you.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What has he sent me? It's a door. You know, like a do not disturb. Getting one, that Hachtur. Please don't enter this room. But this one is brilliant. It is what I love about this, and what this is the thing that I've been trying to explain to Phoebe about, like why the weird parts of the memes that I like, it because it's a mashup of really specific shit that only I get a chuckle out of. So this one is both a Skyrim reference and a Hachtur reference, and none of this Hasrufa is Hachtur spit on that thing. So when you walk up the mountain, just when you've just left Whiterun, walking up to go see the bearded folk at the top, and they teach you the dragon shout, and you got to feel it from your lower diaphragm, and you just do it with all your might because you are the Thang blood.
You hit him with that Fusrodar.
Yeah, you hit him with the Hachtur credits.